Welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have a beastly soccer player, Brittany Wilson, a goalkeeper for the Orlando Pride, joining me today. You know, when I first created Jules on the Hustle, I thought that I wanted to stick to tennis, bringing tennis guests on, analyzing tennis matches, tournaments, news, drama, all that good stuff. But then I decided, you know, I want to get to know athletes from other sports. I want to see the hustle in each sport. And you know what? I'm even expanding beyond sports. I want to look for professionals and people that have drive, excellent work ethics, and just know how to hustle. Because it's Jules on the Hustle. We want to learn about all types of hustles from all different avenues of this life, inspire, motivate, and create together. So without further ado, Brittany Wilson. All right, so Brittany, thanks for joining me on Jules on the Hustle. Would you say you're a hustler?
Oh, I'd love to be known as a hustler, yes. That's great.
How would you define someone that hustles? Without putting you on the spot too much, I apologize.
Yes, no, it's good. We're diving right into it.
Diving right in.
I think a hustler for me would be defined as somebody who's always going after, chasing after their dreams, regardless of what anybody else thinks. And just continues to chase it and never give up on themselves.
Well, from what I see in you, you are definitely a hustler. You fight and you work for what you want each day. Do you think that that's something you were maybe born with or something that you've developed?
That's a good question. I think it's probably both. You know, I'd say from a very young age, I was always competitive. I had so much energy. That's why my mom put me into soccer to begin with. But I also think it's been developed through years of being in the game, being around other players that have encouraged me to do the same, pushed me, coaches that have pushed me to not only believe in myself, but also just work really, really hard and try to outwork everybody else. And so it's both. I'd say it's both. What is it for you?
Being a hustler?
Yeah.
I think to me, you're flipping this on me. I guess because maybe because you're a podcast host, you know how to, you know, ask those tough questions as well. For me, a hustler is someone that works super hard day in and day out, you know, may not know what it takes and how to get to the top, but will exhaust every option and just everything each day to do whatever it takes to set themselves up to be in the best spot to be the best they could be. So there's obviously not one definition for it, and it's a tough question, but there's so many different ways to look at it, and it's so nice to talk to other professionals, whether it's in athletics or in other aspects of life, and kind of bounce off ideas and inspire.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Why do you think it's important to hustle for what you want?
For me, I think, you know, from a young age, I was told, what is the common saying, right?
Talent beats hard work when hard work doesn't. Wait.
Hard work beats talent. Yeah, that's right. Work hard. Why are we were told that 8 million times before, you can't remember that, but that's it, right? So you're told that from a young age, and some people take it on, some people don't. You know, I've always been very self-critical, and, you know, especially in the goalkeeper position, you're the last line. You know, if you make a mistake, everybody sees it. And so that used to make me just absolutely so nervous. I'd be so nervous for games. But I think it also strengthened me as just a person outside the field as well, because it's like, okay, mistakes happen, but how can I work to be better every single day, to hustle, as you would call it, right? Just to put in all the work. And I think over the years, I've realized, you know, the success doesn't come overnight, right? And I've still got such a long way to go and so many things to learn. I've just started my professional career, but it's definitely been reminding me that success is just in the little tiny steps every single day that you don't even really see, right? You're going to be changing. If it's something in my goalkeeper set position that I'm trying to change, it's going to be a million reps before I even recognize a change. But as long as I'm being focused as long as I'm focused and being cognizant of these little steps I'm taking, and that applies into life too. If we're trying to make changes, it's not overnight, but if we continue to work on it, then you'll see progress. And so it's so rewarding too to see that progress that doesn't happen overnight, but it happens over a long period of time. And I think that's one of the most rewarding things for me, also playing a sport and then also trying to learn other things off the field and do stuff that puts me out of my comfort zone, like podcasting or creating other content and stuff like that. You know, stuff I'm not necessarily comfortable with, but over time you can see the growth if you just put yourself out there.
And so you're the first soccer player I've had on my podcast, so I'm very excited to have you on here. What I love about a goalkeeper, I'm sorry, besides Tim Howard.
I was going to say, wait.
Yeah.
You're all for the goalkeepers, though. That's
crazy. I just totally had like a brain fart. If Tim is listening to this, I'm sorry. I did not mean to forget you. You were not a forgetful person to have on here. All right, how about the first female soccer player?
There you go.
We'll go with that. And what I love about you goalkeepers is that even though it's a team sport, it's almost like you're an individual in the goalkeeper. Like, while, yes, you have your teammates, like, when you do things well or not so well, it feels like it all comes down to you.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, I tell my teammates it feels like a completely different sport, really, to where I have to be able to use my feet, play out of the back, all those different things. But then when it comes to all the different crazy things we have to do, it's completely different. And it is a bit of a lonely position. You know, you're back there by yourself. And like I said, you're the last line of defense. Everybody's looking at you to not make mistakes and keep a clean sheet. So it's definitely tough, but it's good. I love the position.
I appreciate that. You know, in that aspect, you're an individual competitor. You know, in tennis, it's all about the individual lifestyle, which is hard. I feel like I'm a person that would thrive better in a team environment. So
really,
lots of respect for you. So you have a podcast and it's called Before the Lights. It's a podcast where you talk about the obstacles that you face or the obstacles your guests face. Are they typically athletes? And what inspired you to make this?
Yes, so they are athletes. I've been interviewing mostly athletes. I'm starting to branch out into more business people, but the business people I've had on have also been athletes in their past. Like the two I have on were a Division I soccer player and then a professional baseball player who are the business people. But I love to see people creating stuff after the game. But anyways, yes, it's been a crazy journey. There's been Olympians, NFL players, a lot of different amazing people that I personally have always looked up to. And the idea started when I wanted to share my story because I thought, you know, there had been a lot of things I had gone through in my childhood that I didn't necessarily ever share with anybody, including my close teammates, and they had no idea. And these things are nothing to necessarily be ashamed of. We all talk about the highlights in our lives and we want to project that out into the world. But also I think it's really important to be talking about the struggles that we've gone through, because I think those are really the things that do shape us into who we are and who we become. You know, it's not through the major successes that, you know, we become who we are. I think it's through the trials and through the hardships and all these different things. And so I wanted to bring that to the light for myself and be able to share that on the platform just for myself and anybody who would listen, who would maybe connect with that story and resonate with that themselves, and then share that through other athletes that I looked up to. And I've learned so much about myself, but I've learned so much about other athletes as well that I've had on the podcast, you know, just sharing their stories and being open and vulnerable and talking about these things off the field that they'd never necessarily talk about in a normal interview. And so that was my whole goal at the start. And it's just been such an incredible journey, you know, meeting some of my best friends, interviews, connecting. And it's been really cool. I can't wait to continue doing it.
You mentioned that you probably wouldn't be where you are today and have the mindset that you have if it weren't for your obstacles and your what you went through in your childhood. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a story. Everybody has hardships in their life, and nobody's lives are, you know, you can say these things happen that are harder than the other. But for me, I think, you know, the things that I struggled with shaped me into who I am, because I had to deal with that and I had to respond. And I think we all have a choice when things happen in our lives that aren't necessarily the best. Mm-hmm. You know, we could either respond by following those footsteps, or, you know, blaming the world or blaming the circumstance and not becoming anything greater out of that situation, or from those situations we can choose to grow and learn, and learn what works and what doesn't work for people, and learn how to become better for yourself and then for the people around you too. You know, I've witnessed alcoholism, abuse, different things in my household that I never knew were abnormal, because that was my life growing up. And then as I grew into my life and, you know, met people around me, I started to recognize that those things weren't necessarily normal. But I also wanted to think those things also didn't affect me. And I think they affected me way, way more than I ever expected them to. And so when I decided to start sharing these things and talking about them and seeing sports psychologists, then I learned how to deal with them better. But I think it's important to not be scared to talk about those things, or not recognize that they may have an impact on you, because, you know, trials are hard. Things in your household that you may be going through are hard, and you can recognize that, you know, you're not as strong as you may think in that aspect, that these things may affect you, but you can grow from them. And so that's definitely what I've tried to do with the podcast, is just encourage people to share their stories.
No, I really appreciate that. And I actually, a few episodes ago, dove into some of my obstacles, because we all have a story. Mm-hmm. Some have it worse than others, but we can all grow and motivate each other and learn. I find it fascinating that some people contact me, or even my friends, and they'd be like, you seem like you have it all together. But I think that's what social media portrays. So another big thing. And I found that so fascinating when you spoke about that on your podcast. What kind of image do you think social media has, and what kind of games does it play with the human brain?
Yeah. Well, while you were saying that, I was thinking about it, and I think a lot of high performers, a lot of high-level athletes do have these stories of these crazy trials that they've endured, because I think those lessons in our lives have really built us up into being stronger people mentally and physically and all these things. And so these people you look at who are, you know, winning gold medals or on these professional teams, it seems like, oh my gosh, I want their life. It's like,
yeah.
They went through a lot to get there.
Exactly.
And a lot more than just the training. And so the more, I feel like also the more then we open up about that, the better it becomes to everybody looking at your story and being like, okay, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like, her life is hard too. And I can, you know, resonate with that fact. But for social media, it's hard. You know, I've talked about this a lot, because I struggle with it too. I want to be posting pictures and people would be like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty, she's so successful, all these things. We all want that.
Right.
You know, we're human and we want other people to like us.
Exactly.
And social media is exactly that. It's like, oh, I can put this filter on me. My skin's going to be all smooth. I'll look all skinny, whatever. I'm going to portray that image, which we all want to be. And I'm totally guilty of that all the time. But I also think it can be an amazing tool when you realize that we're all human and you can genuinely talk about your stories instead of just using it as a place to, you know, put that image out there, using it as a place to let other people know that they're not alone in whatever they're going through. Like, for example, one of my favorites, I'd call her an influencer model or something like that. I've been following her for a while. The other week she posted this picture that she was struggling with her acne, and just posted this real raw, like super, you know, everything was covered photo. And at the time I had been going through so much stress with our team dropping out of the tournament, all this stuff. And my face had broken out extremely crazy. I know this is such not a big deal, but this is just an example I have. And so I saw that and I was like, I had seen all of her pictures before. She got the smooth filter on, whatever. It looks like she's perfect. So I'm like, struggling to myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. I don't understand how everybody has such clear skin. And then finally, it's like, if you have that big of a platform and you can admit that you're human,
right, exactly,
not perfect, it can make somebody like me feel so much better. And so then I took that into account going forward. I'm like, if I'm upfront about my struggles and little things, even if as little as blemishes on your skin, right? Not the biggest deal in the world, but it can make somebody feel not alone. And so think about it, if on the grander scheme of things, if, you know, somebody else's mom had struggled with addiction like mine had, and they heard that story, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. She's moved on from that. She's growing from that. You know, this is how she's doing it. Then they feel supported in that too. So I think social media can be tough because it's a place where we can project just that perfect image. But I think the more we can, as, you know, athletes or people with platforms, project that image that's not that perfect way, I think it's actually really powerful because more people won't feel as alone. And especially at this time, right, we're all in isolation. We're all by ourselves all the time. We can feel like we're so alone in whatever we're going through. But if we can be connected on social media and connected in a way that we know we're all going through this and we're all going through these struggles, then I feel like it can be a positive place. So I think
Exactly. And what this screams to me is that we need to normalize opening up about emotions and feelings or what we've gone through. The more we normalize things, the more it's okay to open up and we can feel for each other, help each other, not be ashamed for what we went through. And instead of looking at it in a negative light, to use it to help us in our future. So there's two ways you can look at it. You can have a difficult past and kind of let it just eat you up. Or, you know, you could take the proper steps that you took, you know, talk to someone, the psychologist. You really bonded a lot with your sister, it sounds like. And using your platform, like you said, in a way that kind of gives out your true and real self, your raw self, like you mentioned, rather than this smooth filter all the time. I totally get you. So where does Before the Lights come from? I think that's a really neat title.
Yeah, the idea, I was just brainstorming things because, like I mentioned, I wanted it to all be about stories and obstacles that we had gone through before. You know, we all see, the idea is the lights. We're playing under the lights. Video cameras are on, whatever it may be. For all these athletes, especially these high-level athletes, Olympians, you know, at the time when I started this, I was a Division I athlete. We'd always play under the lights. So what everybody sees is you on the field.
Exactly.
There's all this stuff. So the idea of Before the Lights is what happened before to that athlete, to that person, to that human before they stepped out on that field that made them who they are today. And it goes so much beyond whatever sport you play. Like, sports are amazing and they teach me and others so many things every single day. But at the end of the day, it is a game, but it does connect us. And so how can we learn from all these different people and all their struggles that they went through to become successful and to continue to just be human and be open about their lives going forward?
There's so much in sports that people don't see, like you said. They see the highlights. So for you, when you're out on the field under the lights, or in tennis, maybe at Arthur Ashe Stadium when Serena Williams wins the U.S. Open. But what about the stuff before to get to that point? What's something you would say in soccer that people might not know, or something that happens behind the scenes that are like, wow, if only I knew that, I would appreciate and respect these soccer players and realize how hard it actually is, not just all luxurious and a dreamy life.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind is now being a professional athlete. We all want to think being a pro athlete is like the best job you could possibly get ever, and it's so easy to just wake up and play your sport and all this stuff. And I feel like being around people who have been in the league for years, been on the U.S. Women's National Team, you know, I'm so lucky and blessed to be on a team with some of the world's greatest female athletes. And so I'm really seeing what a true pro is and how they carry themselves. And it's a full-time job, you know?
Truly.
And I think what's cool is I'm also realizing that these people are also human. Uh-huh. I've looked up to these girls since I was a little girl, some of them. You know, I'm training with Ashlyn Harris, who's on the women's national team. And I remember going to games as a teenager and seeing her with the women's national team. And now to be training with her, I had always, you know, put her on a pedestal, which, of course, she's earned it. She's earned that spot. But it's cool to be training with her and getting to know her as a human, as a person, and all the work she puts in day and night to keep her body healthy, to, you know, support her teammates. You know, she's a captain on the team. And so being next to these true pros and in their daily process is really important. And then also seeing them share their own stories, too. It's like they don't have this amazing, easy path to where they are. It's filled with injuries and hardships in their life and different things who have created them into the badasses that they are today.
Exactly.
So it's great to see, you know, the human side of it and then the super professional side as well.
Jules on the hustle, Gamma on the hustle. We needed a tennis equipment brand that was on our level. Behold, Gamma Sports. Gamma offers the best tennis strings and grips in the industry, along with a full line of training, court, and stringing equipment. Even 40 years later, there are patent processes, superior design, and string technology gives players a distinct edge over the competition. You know why? Because Gamma understands that athletes have a lifelong need to grow, perform, and strive for excellence. So guys, go to gammasports.com and use my code JULES20, J-U-L-E-S 20, for 20% off your purchase. I've been using Gamma for 15 plus years and it has changed my game. Gamma will never stop innovating and improving their technology, and that will enhance your game. So what are you waiting for? What would you say maybe some of your strengths are as a person and as an athlete?
That's a good question. I'd say that I think something that is becoming a strength is that I always want to learn, and I'm always hungry to learn and grow.
Beautiful.
And just take things as they come. I would say when I was younger, I was a head case, and I, you know, was kind of all over the place and just had no control. And I'm learning to realize that there's so much that's out of my control. Yeah. And that what I can control is myself. Ooh. And so as I approach every single day, it's a new day for growth. And it's a new day to learn from someone. And if someone has something to say, like I said, I'm learning from some of the greatest in the world. And so if someone has something to say, I am absorbing it as much as I possibly can. I feel like my best self when I'm learning something. And so I think that's probably one of the things that I think will continue to make me better and better and better every single day is just that hunger and that desire to grow and get better. And
that's amazing. I love it.
What's that?
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. That hunger and desire to learn, because how old are you right now?
22.
Who wants to peak in their lives in their 20s? You know, you want to constantly be learning, absorbing new things. No matter what age you are, you want to keep learning. So I really admire that from you.
Thank you. And I think it's so easy when you think of like what's your strength, think of a physical attribute, right?
Right.
But I think the people, and what I'm witnessing with the people who have found success, you know, in my sport and then in other sports, these people I've been talking to are people who are constantly working on themselves, and not only on the field, right? It's so easy to go out and work on your left foot and your right foot and all these different things on the field, but also working on themselves off the field, because most games, I know tennis especially, is what, 99% mental?
Oh, yeah.
It's all in your head, right? And so I think the people I'm witnessing that have found the most success are people that are just always wanting to work on themselves, on their mental game, and just every aspect of their life.
What do you think are some of your physical strengths?
I would say I've always been fairly athletic. When I was young, I was feet like 8 feet taller. That's an exaggeration. I was like the tall girl. It was terrifying. Like everybody came up to my belly button. And so that's probably why I became goalkeeper. I'm 5'8", so it's like I'm kind of tall
for You're definitely above average.
Above average, but I wish I was at least 6 foot for my position, just saying. But so I've always been pretty tall, pretty athletic, but especially in college, I really worked on just being as fit as I possibly can, you know, and just feeling, I think that gave me confidence. You know, yes. As a goalkeeper, I'd be able to sprint and run for 90 minutes, but what gave me confidence is doing so much work off the field by myself and feeling really fit to where I could compete with the field players. And then I feel like I can move and I can be quick. And so that developed over time, still developing, but I feel like being fit really makes me just be in a good headspace and know that I can, you know, react to anything and move across the goal quickly.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. When you feel fit physically, it honestly affects you mentally in such a positive way. In tennis, it's obviously, like I said, an individual sport. You can be out on the court for 3 hours running around. A lot of times the points are maybe 4 to 6 seconds, which seems like nothing, but it really adds up. You get really tired. And if you have that physical endurance and strength, that will change your mindset when maybe other opponents will be feeling it, feeling exhausted. That little push of better fitness level will, you know, take you to a W rather than a loss.
Totally. And the good thing about it is it's so within your control. Like, you can always go home and work on it yourself. You can always go on a run. Like, it's free. And you can always ask coaches to what, for your sport specifically, what can I be doing extra, you know, here at Orlando if I'm, you know, I feel like I need to run or do something like that, I'll just ask our strength coach. She'll give us a program and stuff like that. So it's within your control, which I think is the best part about the whole thing. And then you're so right. It does give you that mental edge because you're like, okay, I'm fit. I'm ready. That's not something my mind's on. My mind can focus completely on the game.
What I love what you mentioned also is controlling the controllables. So many times we want to control things that are out of our hands. And as great and beautiful as that would be, it's not exactly realistic. So I think telling myself when something makes me upset or bothers me, I ask myself, is this something I can control? And if the answer is no, then you simply have to just kind of move forward and maybe learn and figure out how you can do it better next time, or maybe say, that's not my problem, and let it things play out. So I think that's key.
Yeah, I think a big part in that is self-awareness, really, because it's so easy to fall into the trap of just these constant thoughts and worries, and then this happens in your day, and you're freaking out about that, and then you're talking about this thing that happened, and the more you can develop that self-awareness piece of like, okay, I feel this way, you know, whether it's I'm anxious today, why is that? Is this thing I'm anxious about within my control? No. Okay, what can I focus
exactly
on now that's within my control? So it's a constant process. It's a daily process. I wish it was like a button where you're just like, and I feel good all the time, but I feel like it's definitely just a daily process of being aware of how you're feeling, how you're acting, and then how you're treating others too. Just constantly being aware of how you're presenting yourself to the world.
This is a really random, weird question, but if you had one superpower, if you could choose anything, what would you choose?
Oh my gosh, I really, the perfectionist in me wants to think about this for a while and pick the perfect answer.
I love that.
I'm like, oh, I've got to really think about this. Oh, I'd want to say mind reading because that could work for my sport, but I also feel like I would just know way too much about everybody's lives. I wouldn't. Maybe, like, controlled mind reading. Like, I can read your mind if I really want to.
If you know really. What I mean? But I feel yeah. like you would be like, ooh, I kind of want to know, but then I don't want to know. Okay, tell me. Like, you know what I mean? That you're like me, I feel like, because you're a perfectionist and you want to know everything. You're like, tell me, yeah. tell me. Yeah. That would be great. I also sometimes ask myself, do I want to know the future? And while, like, I do, but, like, I feel like that would ruin it for me right now and where I'm at now. So it's like, do yeah. I actually want to be able to figure yeah. out my future? And then people are always like, oh, I wish I could fly. I'm like, yeah, so? I mean, it sounds fun, but, like, why?
I think some of the beauty in life, like, I definitely have been a perfectionist in the past, which is not necessarily the best thing in the world, and I've always wanted to control my future, but I think I'm realizing the biggest part of life, like, the most beautiful thing in life is just the process.
Ooh. You know,
it's not necessarily
the process.
Seeing exactly what's going to happen or what's going to play out and just kind of living in the process. That's what's made me happier and find a little bit more happiness. So I wouldn't want to know the future, but mind reading could help me out in gold. That's for sure.
That definitely will. That's cheating, Brittany. We don't like cheaters. I'm just
kidding. I know. Nobody has to know.
No, yes, we'll keep it on the DL, but so true, trusting the process is kind of goes off what we were just talking about before, which is not worrying about controlling the uncontrollable. So I feel like everything just flows into the other. They're all very connected, interconnected.
Totally.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about your friendship with Tim Howard, like I mentioned earlier, or failed to mention. He was on my podcast. Do you look up to him? You had him on your podcast as well, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was a really cool experience. It was the same thing as I mentioned, you know, watching Ash play before. I would go to Rapids games. I would watch him when he played at Everton. I watched him with the men's national team. And so it was crazy because he's somebody that I've always looked up to my entire life. I'd say the main two goalkeepers that I looked up to growing up were him and Hope Solo because they were the American goalkeepers. I had posters of them in my room.
Oh. And then,
so it was really a cool thing to kind of meet one of your heroes growing up and then get to hear the side of their story, like I had talked about before, where it's not, you know, they had this perfect life. He had to go through a lot of hard things. I'm sure on your podcast, he talked about a few of those things, but made him into who he is and the great goalkeeper and person that he is. So it was so cool to meet him. Obviously a great goalkeeper, but just a great person too.
I wanted to know if there's someone outside of sports that you could say you look up to, and maybe not the one that you said on Instagram that uses the face smoother filter.
Yes. Yes, those are nice to look at, but
definitely.
I look up to a lot of people outside sport. I think I've always been pretty entrepreneurial.
Ooh.
And I try to, you know, empower female athletes and just younger athletes too to continue to build themselves and their brands and stuff, because we don't have to just be an athlete and just play our sport. Obviously, I give 100% focus and effort and everything goes into my soccer career, but I think it's cool to also build that up. So I look up to a lot of different entrepreneurs. You know, Shark Tank is my favorite show.
Best show ever.
Yes, it's the best.
How many times have you tried to think of a product or something that you can bring onto the show?
Every single day.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's the worst thing in the world because sleep is my biggest recovery tool. And if I start thinking about a business plan or if I start thinking about an idea, I will be up till I don't even know when because my brain just starts going. Like, it's always been that way. So it's my favorite show. So people like that. Yeah. And then just like people who have affected my life, not necessarily celebrities, but, you know, women who have led me in Bible study. I have a lady at home who led some girls that were at our college. Her name's Babette. And seriously, just the most loving person who just shows you what, like, Christ's love is. And She's just amazing. So people like that who have just affected me personally, not celebrities, but,
yeah,
you know, I think that's the greatest part about this whole thing is you don't have to necessarily have the biggest platform. If you have one person in front of you and you love them well and you treat them well, like, that's what we're here for. And, you know, and so, yeah, I think just like the people around me.
That's so interesting what you just said about branding. You know, you're an athlete, obviously, and I know you're really into the podcast. You have a YouTube channel. What would you say your niche or your brand would be?
I've tried to develop it over the years, and for some reason, I was always scared of just diving into the soccer thing, but
yeah,
I realized, you know, soccer is my life. And soccer is what I'm good at, and what I've
a little good at.
I'm okay.
You're okay.
And I've devoted my time to it, yeah, you know. And so I was always scared, and I was worried about what other people would think. You know, teammates, people I played against. You know, posting these things. But it's been so liberating, just not caring and posting whatever I want to, and using that as my brand, as my niche, because it's who I am at the end of the day. And so what I try to be is just someone that I would have looked up to and show things that I would have wanted to see when I was a younger kid. Like, ooh, how cool would it be to see the locker room of a professional athlete, or what she eats in a day of a professional athlete if you're a little kid? Like, I would have died to see those videos.
Instagram, right? didn't exist, so there were no stories when we were growing up. I would have loved, you know, if my favorite athlete took us into her day with videos. Oh, guys, this is what I'm gonna drink, or this is what I'm gonna eat before my match. So I think if social media or Instagram is used like that, it could be so helpful.
Yes. Yeah, so that's exactly what I try to be. Just use the soccer and show people, and just be genuine. People can sniff out, right, if you're not being genuine about your life, if you're not actually doing the things that you say you're doing. So what I do is I take people through my daily life. And if you're interested, if you're not interested, whatever. It can be boring sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, you know, I have little girls that have told me that they look up to me and they have been encouraged to keep playing soccer because of me. And that's what I do it for. And I recently created a platform where I can do one-on-one question and answer coaching, stuff like that, online, which is great during the pandemic because we can always get better on the field. But off the field, I had a million questions when I was a kid, like, what club should I play for? How do I get recruited to go to play in college? All this stuff. And so I just try to also be a resource and be someone who's not untouchable, right? Like, there's so many celebrities, and I'm definitely not big time, but there's so many celebrities who, you know, are so untouchable. Like, they'd never respond to anything. I try to, as much as I physically can, interact with the audience. And, you know, if there's a 12-year-old girl from Pennsylvania that has a question about goalkeeping, I try to answer that and just be a resource for them as well. So I'm going to try to keep that going as much as I can.
But what's the first thing you have on your profile, in your bio?
Follower of Christ.
Right. Yeah. So talk about your relationship with Jesus for a sec, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, it's been a journey, and he definitely found me at my lowest point. Like I explained earlier, I had a tougher childhood, and I tried to just define myself as a soccer player. And I always growing up knew that there is something missing. And, you know, I'd have friends that were Christians, and I was always confused. I'm like, does that just mean following a bunch of rules? I don't know. I never had it explained to me because I never grew up with people in my household who believed in God, talked about Jesus, anything like that. But in the start of college, through a friend group, we went to FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And it was the first time I had actually heard the gospel for what it is, and that it's not about just strict and following rules. It's about a loving God who sent his only son to die on the cross for you, like for you specifically, to wash your sins. And this world is fallen, right? I always talk about it. I would be so confused and so lost. And I'm not pushing this on anybody. I think everybody needs to find it for themselves. But I know for me, I would be so confused and so lost in this world without the hope of Jesus, because we live in a fallen world. And as you can see, there are just so many things that go wrong. And that's not an excuse to not try to make those things better here. But it's also recognizing that we are nothing compared to Christ and what he can do and his perfect image. And, you know.
And doesn't that take pressure and tension off your shoulders, knowing that what your path is meant to be, that he will take care of it for you? You will be where you are meant to be. And we mentioned controlling the controllables. The uncontrollables are left for him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I think that's what completely shifted my mind, because I went from, oh, my gosh, Brittany, I have to do all this. I have to make this happen, this happen. Once you realize that God is in control and nothing that you can do will, obviously, you still want to work hard. You still want to have goals. You still want to chase those. He supports that. And he has given you those gifts. But realizing that you can let go of that hold and rely on him for that strength and that guidance, and just to be more and more like Christ every single day is my goal. And it's a constant journey, right? And
right.
I fall so short, so short all the time, as does everybody else. But just starting that journey has completely changed my life, and hopefully will continue. I know it will continue to every single day.
Hello, my hustlers. Boy, do I have some great news for you. So the other day I was practicing with this girl and her eyelash falls off mid-practice. That's right, her lash popped off. And I thought, Julia, what are you going to do? And that's when I turned to Play Your Court, because you get to play more tennis and improve your game while the tennis is brought to you. You get set up with practice partners nearby that are similar in level. So that's right for all you lazy folks thinking, I don't want to drive far to practice. Well, no excuses. You get unlimited matches, no drama, and custom video coaching tailored to your needs. So let's say you're having a hard time with your forehand inside out or your serve. Play Your Court has you set. And you actually end up saving more because you get insider pricing on balls, rackets, grips, shoes, string, bags, apparel, pro tickets, and more from the top tennis brands. All you have to do is go to playyourcourt.com and answer a few easy questions about what you are looking for. Use my code, you're welcome, capital Julia, J-U-L-I-A, all caps, and you get 50% off your yearly subscription of $49.99. And just monthly, you can get it for $5.99. Again, you're welcome. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Play Your Court, and their YouTube page, Play Your Court. You are welcome. Ball out, guys. Okay, the last question I'm going to hit you with is, what's a stronger feeling, the highs of winning or the very low lows of losing? I don't know if you can just visualize or place yourself in a moment of you had the biggest win or the worst loss when you thought you had it and then you dropped the ball, maybe. Which felt stronger, that win, like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, or the loss, like, oh my gosh, like, no one talked to me, I'm gonna go bury myself?
It's probably for me, it is the lows of losing. Like I said, I've always been super competitive.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, when you lose and you just know that, even if you know that you put everything out there, it's just so, oh, that feeling compares to nothing. But it's also, that's exactly, you know, how we learn. We learn way more from our losses. And so in that way, I think that's the most important thing to do is to lose. Like, don't go out and try to lose.
Right.
You get everything and you lose, right? You're learning way more, but that's definitely the most intense feeling for me.
Especially as a goalkeeper, for me, an individual tennis player, you feel like you have control of, not control of winning and losing, but if things go well, you feel like, you know, you were a lot of it. And then if things go wrong, you feel like you were a lot of it. So your heart and mind are, you're emotionally invested.
Yeah.
So I feel like for us too, it hits us harder, both negatively and positively.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just wanted to hear your take on that. But other than that, Brittany, this was so awesome. I definitely recommend the listeners to listen to Before the Lights. And I'm so excited to be on with you soon on your podcast.
Yes.
So where can everyone find you on social media?
Yes, I'm Brittany One Wilson with a one in between because Brittany Wilson was already taken. So across all platforms, I'm Brittany Wilson. And then on YouTube, it's just youtube.com/Brittany Wilson. But yeah, I usually try to read my DMs on Instagram. So if you have any questions, let me know there. Brittany One Wilson on TikTok too. That's my,
TikTok. Yeah. Do you actually use it? And are you a big TikToker?
Yep,
oh my gosh.
That's my biggest platform right now. I love it.
Are you serious? I can't wait to go check it out.
You've got to check it out.
What's your favorite video that you've recorded?
Well, me and my roommate recorded one the other day that hit like 1.2 million views, which is insane.
Stop
it. Stuff just goes viral on there. It's crazy. And we just did like the worst feelings in football or soccer. Whatever you want to call it. People argue about this football soccer thing all the time, so I make sure to say both. But and so we just did like little things like missing a header, the ball, like missing a wide open shot, something like that. And people love it. Just relatable stuff. It's fun. It's just like a creative outlet for me.
Right. So that's a scoop for this week, Brittany Wilson. Gosh, a great guest for us to have. You have to check out her podcast, Before the Lights. She really dives into her, you know, insecurities, obstacles, things that she has to deal with to this day. And you really get to learn about her and her guests. Maybe the things that you won't normally see on other podcasts or on social media. So definitely recommend that. And on a little bit of a lighter note, check out her TikTok because, you know, it's funny. I asked her. A lot of people have TikTok accounts but don't actually use them or just, you know, are playful about them. But she is a hardcore TikTok. She has videos with hundreds of thousands of views. And like she said, she has a video that has a million views. Like she goes hard and I appreciate it. She's definitely a great video content creator. You can see the juices flow and her creativity is top notch. But I hope you guys were inspired by her work ethic. I think her mentality is so strong, her mindset. She's so focused and she really uses her past to help her to become the person she is today. And she's clearly learned and accepted everything that she's gone through to make her such a badass athlete. So, Brittany, thank you for joining me. I can't wait to go on her podcast, and you guys have to listen to my story. But as always, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules Elbaba, at JULESELBABA. If you liked this podcast, feel free, you know, to rate it and leave a review. Other than that, US Open action going on right now. We're day 4. It's so weird not having fans. It really is, but it seems like the players are making the best of it. And the fans like us, it's weird watching on TV, but and don't even get me started with the virtual boxes. I don't know about that. Player boxes. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? But anyway, now I'm just rambling. So see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.